B-Pod Studios.
I absolutely despise Old England and everything about it. God, I hate that part of the country more than life itself.
Welcome to Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City for the AFC Championship between the 12-5 New England Patriots and the 13-4 Kansas City Chiefs.
You can take your cane and you can take your chowder.
Your lobster rolls are amazing.
You can take everything that you have, your arrogance, your pompous mountains and Maine.
Patriots staffer told me early in the week Brady walked into the facility and said, and I quote, "I am the baddest mother on the planet."
Brady takes the snap. Back three steps. He pumps. He looks long.
You can take it all, and you can all shove it into the Atlantic Ocean.
He throws it down the left side for Dorsett.
Hey, Boston, kiss my ass twice.
And he makes the catch in the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
My God!
Get a squeak!
Brady takes the snap. Gives to Michelle. Runs it right. First down and more on touch. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Oh, as they regain the lead.
It's the balls, man.
Short motion by Allen left with a reset. A give to Michelle. Runs it left into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
And you take 15 plays and you shove it right down their throat.
Well, wait until Sunday night at 9 o'clock when they lose the game to the Chiefs and all the chowder heads are melting down and they're wondering why, we're not going to another Super Bowl. The Chiefs beat us.
Brady takes the snap. Dropping back. Throws it right underneath. Off the hands of Gronkowski. Intercepted. There's a penalty marker on the other side of the field. There's Cleet Blakeman, the referee.
Oh, my.
Offside. Oh, wow. 55. Line back in the neutral zone. The 5-yard penalty. Replay third down.
He's going to turn and give it to Burkett. He runs it left behind Devlin. He blows his way to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. And they've regained the lead with 39 seconds on the clock in this AFC Championship.
I mean, what a run by Burkett to take the lead.
Kick by Butker. Headed to the uprights. The kick is good. And Butker.
Clutch.
Sends this game to overtime.
Heads.
Matthew Slater.
It is heads.
You want the ball.
In the pocket. Throws down the middle. Edelman open in midfield. Makes the catch. And then lunges forward across the 45. Brady firing down the middle. Caught by Edelman. On the run.
Here we go!
Third and 10. In the pocket. Throws down the middle. Grunt makes the catch at the 20. And he is tackled. Caught the shoelaces by Berry as he skids to the 15. First down for New England.
Second and goal to go from the 2. Allen motions left to right, then reverses direction. Brady under center. A give to Burkett. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
We're going back, baby! And there ain't nothing you can do about it! America's worst nightmare is back! We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years! Pack your bags, start our buses, we're coming home, Boston! Oh my God, I can't believe it! It's not their year, right? It just might be. It just might be.
Kiss my ass twice.
What was your question?
Just what it means to go back to Super Bowl.
Unbelievable, bro. This is crazy. What a game.
.985 The Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich. Bob Soucy is brought to you by the New England Fat Loss Personal DNA Plate Strategy. When you know your plate, you maintain your weight. This is science, not sales. New England Fat Loss is New England's long-term solution for sustainable weight loss. Bob Soucy is the play-by-play voice for the New England Patriots. And what time did you get in, Mr. Soucy?
Well, I'll say this. This is the third time I've heard that montage today. I'm still trying to figure out what pompous mountains are. But
as are we.
Yeah.
It was a man desperately trying to patronize his audience.
Yeah, no question. The first time was in the parking lot at 6 while I was waiting for my windshield to defrost, at least hoping that the quarter inch of ice or so it seemed that I'd been trying to scrape away for the previous half hour, along with our engineers. I got to give Dennis Knudsen and Mike Perry, in particular, shout out to 985 The Sports Hub, because they worked extra hard to try to help a number of people in the parking lot make their vehicles drivable by clearing at least enough ice off the windshield to see our way out of Foxborough and back to our respective homes. But I heard that at 6 and then heard it on the way home, at the bottom of the hour, and then, you know, just heard it again. So I got home and walked in our front door by about 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Oh, you put that much time into a montage. You play that sucker all the time. you let that sucker roll.
It eats up about 3 minutes, so it's all good.
So, okay, so you were on the team plane, correct, coming back?
Yes.
Okay. What was the vibe like yesterday? I mean, they looked like Brady just, this never gets old to him, obviously, but it almost looks like, and Fred actually made a good point, like they had escaped out of there with a win. Like even like they couldn't believe that when it was done, they had won it after all of that.
You know, I think more than that, I think it was the gratification of going on the road and winning in those circumstances.
Yeah.
Hostile environment, loud crowd. You know, they've played the disrespect card and their underdog role the last couple of weeks. And I think the players really believe that. And I think it's, you know, a case where yesterday you really got a sense, not even on the plane, but just seeing the guys, the way they reacted after the celebration and making their way to and from the press conference podium or the buses and then eventually the plane itself. There was just a sense of, even with the support staff, that there was something extra special about going on the road and winning the championship game, you know, as opposed to having failed in Denver, you know, in 2013 and 15, or in Indianapolis when they let that one get away years ago before my time. But even I said to Zoe at one point on the way back last night, you know, we've called thrilling Super Bowls and previous AFC championships, but there's something different about this one. Going to the other team's venue, especially with the excitement in Kansas City and how much the opportunity to host the game meant to the fans there and to that team, and to win it the way they did, and the back and forth, and just ultimately, you know, it's cliche to say it's a test of wills, because had Kansas City gotten the ball with a chance to match in overtime, the way it was going, the Chiefs were going to do it, they were going to go all night long. But the Patriots to prevail the way they did, I think, you know, that really made it all the more rewarding for them.
Well, the other thing, Bob, is that they killed any questions about how tough they were going into the Super Bowl, because mm-hmm. in years past, you know, there were wins that they had, like against, remember the AFC finalist game against the Colts where they blew them out, and then, you know, you could even say that, you know, like the Jaguars, some people even were like, well, they don't have a real quarterback. Whereas this was the toughest road for them to take as far as the remaining teams that were in the AFC. You beat the Chargers that many people thought were better than you, and then you beat the Chiefs, which were favored, and many people, and was the one seed. So I think all of that, you know, the as soft as the AFC East is, and they really didn't answer any questions, you can't say that about this team. They really earned this one.
But yeah, the two playoff games and the way they were able to switch gears.
Yep.
Yeah, you cannot take anything away from this.
Yeah, you know, and after losing five games on the road, and frankly, losing games in a very inept fashion at times offensively, 10 points against Detroit, for example, in week three against a bad football team, and then to lose games late the way they did against the Dolphins and the Steelers on the road, a lot of people question the mental toughness of this team. And they not only proved that they're mentally tough, but they showed again that they're very physically tough as well. And I think it's really remarkable, and I'm sure you guys have talked about it, that this offensive line and the way they protected Brady, the way they established the line of scrimmage and dominated it in the run game as well, two consecutive playoff games. But the fact that they played against Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, and then Justin Houston, D. Ford, and Chris Jones, and Brady hasn't been sacked in this postseason, barely been touched, it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I contend that you could put Franco Harris behind that line and he would have ran for 100 yards. That's beside the point. What the hell was I just about to say? I had my funny quip.
I don't know. You had it all lined up.
But you have so many quips. You can't just grab another one?
Waved me off.
I had my funny quip. All right, yeah, John, you go. I just completely flaked.
Now, as a play-by-play guy, Bob, obviously you've seen a lot of all of these games, and in your tenure, have you ever looked at this team like you have this year? And by that, I mean they looked very vulnerable, especially in December before the last two games. They looked very vulnerable. Are you surprised they are where they are?
You know, I shouldn't be, because, you know, I mean, I like the team in 13, I didn't know any better. And you realize in retrospect that the team that finished the year and got to the AFC Championship, it was really a shell of the team that started that season. And it was really amazing that they had gotten that far, considering, you know, what they had to work with for much of the year offensively and then all the injuries they had on defense. And from that point forward, you know, of course, you looked at the team as being the class of the conference. you know, along with maybe the Broncos with Peyton Manning at quarterback during this time for me. This year, there were times, I've got to be honest, where you know, I had my questions and doubts. But, you know, I said this a few times in the last couple of weeks, and maybe this is, who knows, maybe this is just cliched again. But when Julian Edelman made that play against the Bills, where he caught the pass and looked like he was tackled and got back on his feet and continued to the end zone, the thought I had in watching that is that, you know, don't count these guys out. Whatever happens, they're going to continue to fight. They're going to continue to play hard. But I did have doubts early this season. And go back to the Detroit game and just, you know, how non-competitive that game was. And some of the things that we saw, the lack of energy. We could see Dietrich Wise, for example, the young defensive lineman trying to generate energy on the field. And there was a play late in that game where Zoe and I both recognized one of the players wasn't necessarily getting back to the huddle in a hurry offensively. You know, that was uncharacteristic. And other things along the way, you know, seemed uncharacteristic. The way they lost the game against Miami, that last-second breakdown, the way they lost to Pittsburgh with all those penalties, and including some that were really inexplicable, legal formation, things you don't see from the Patriots. But the last couple of weeks, as the players talked about yesterday, there was a better sense. And, you know, was I positive they were going to go on the road to Kansas City and win over the Chiefs? I can't say that I was 100% confident, but I was certainly confident that they could pull it off.
Well, we've learned for sure just pretty much dismissed the first quarter of the season because
absolutely. I mean, really.
No, I'm serious.
Oh, and OTAs don't matter anymore. They just don't. I mean, it's like they established this year they can get to the Super Bowl and Tom Brady does not have to go to OTAs. And that's the other thing. And that was a huge storyline this year. And I know everyone was ready to pounce. I know that, hell, if they would have lost the divisional round, maybe even yesterday, I think that it would have been fair to question whether or not Brady should have gone and maybe whether or not he was invested. You can't say that anymore.
I can't believe that guy lined up in the neutral zone.
That's okay.
They keep showing the game.
Okay, here's the thing. Bob Sosie, you were there. So the day after the Bears ended up, you know, the kicker shanked that kick, there were videos everywhere of Bears fans pissed off at that guy, like wanting his head. Was anybody like audibly angry at Dee Ford after the game yesterday? Because it seems like my man's getting off the hook a little bit.
No, you know, it's funny because when I walked out of the stadium, you know, people were crestfallen, and you could see the disappointment.
Crestfallen is not pissed. Like, crestfallen shucks. No. You know, that's like somebody who got, like, ketchup on his tie before a big meeting. That's not somebody who's, like, pissed and wants to throw things.
There's stages to, you know, processing this information. Yes. You know?
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. You know, I think it's just consistent with, you know, what I think of, and again, stereotyping the Midwest, St. Louis in baseball, the Cardinals for all those years. Of course, they've had great teams through the years, but they really embrace their teams, and they're very polite fans. They're very good fans in terms of showing up consistently, but it's not the same as when you play in Boston or New York. And Kansas City strikes me in a similar way, and I think it was such an achievement for that town and that city to finally host an AFC championship game. And when we walked out of the stadium, like I said, you know, there was, you could see it, you could hear it, people talking to one another, but there was a sense that, you know, they looked at it like, well, you know, we'll get them next year, or, you know, we just ran out of time, but we're proud of our guys. And, you know, I don't see Dee Ford, you know, being the target of vitriol. I mean, it's not the nature of their media, and certainly, you know, not the way that, you know, I think we think of Midwesterners in particular. From my experience, I spent a lot of time in the Midwest, went to school in the Midwest, and lived for a couple of years doing baseball in the Midwest. And I'll say this as well, you know, there's a picture in the Kansas City Star today of a Chiefs fan embracing a Patriots fan. The Patriots fan is kind of consoling the Chiefs fan, and the headline says "Burnt Endings." I think it's on the front page of the news section.
Oh, that's awful! That's awful.
You can do better than that.
Ooh, if I'm a Kansas City, if I'm a Chiefs fan, I do not want to see that.
You know, and that's kind of the picture I'll come away with as well. I mean, you know, there were fans that were, you know, in need of being consoling a bit, but they were still proud of their team.
I'll tell you this: is that there's nothing like those Midwest fans. You should go to a Detroit Lions game one day and see how that goes. They're not so kind. But Bob Sosie, great to talk to you, and we'll see you in Atlanta.
All right, guys. Looking forward to it. Thanks a lot.
All right.
I appreciate
you, man.
It. I want to finish up the audio of those two jackasses.
Yeah, you too. I forgot we had that. I want to hear that.
Yeah. So we'll have that for you in a moment.
Thatcher and Rich.
Hear ye, the Honorable Judge E. Rosen, whoever, in New England.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. So a station in Chicago, who I've been on the station, I don't know about this show, but the station 20 times, they asked me to do the show. You don't get paid. It's 3:30. I got nothing going on a Friday anyway. Plus, you know, a couple friends of mine could hear it if they wanted to that live in Chicago. So I come on, and they ask me questions about the game and what I think is going to happen, and I say I think the Patriots are going to win. They ask me about Gronkowski retiring. I go into great length about how Gronkowski, is going to retire. They ask me if I thought it was legitimate that they had had this underdog mentality, and I said no, because I believe they're going to win, and also, you know, it's a 3-point spread. I don't think that that's anything, you know, slap in the face. So I just want you to know, I was prepared for every question that they asked me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So and I was not being rude.
You were even cracking jokes?
I did. I cracked a joke, and there was a nice about 5 seconds of silence after I did.
Stay true to yourself the entire interview, Fred.
Sure.
All right.
And by the way, it was like an enjoyable interview. Like, I thought, well, at least in your side of it, you were laughing with them. And
yeah.
But one thing you weren't getting offended when they criticized the Patriots, and you weren't like Mr. Rah-Rah, like, you know, cheerleader guy.
No, because I'm not.
Yeah, as we've known.
Yeah, I'm not.
So I see Fred on Friday night on Instagram. He posts a picture of these two guys, which, by the way, one looks about like 60.
Yeah.
One of the guys looks like mid-60s. The other one looks like he's 18.
My friend says, like, the guy in his 60s is like this, look, I'm Chicago. Don't put, you know, ketchup on a hot dog.
Okay, well, all I know is that you put underneath it, these two dip blanks had me on their show today to talk Pats Kansas City. Since I didn't blank the Patriots, these hacks gave me blank once I was off the air. And then you posted the link, and so I was like, well, I have to hear this. And I listened to it, and as I said, first thing they did was they teased Fred coming on the show by saying,
coming up next, Fred Toucher from the Toucher and Rich Show, WEEI in Boston, and then Therese Paylor.
Yeah, all right, well done.
Okay.
Well done.
All right, strike one.
And then Fred does his interview, and are we going to start where we left off last time?
Let me just play the interview.
Okay.
A couple minutes of the interview so people know what was going on.
I don't know, man. I've been here for so long, since 2006, and, you know, they always just win. That's it. They just always win. And I'd have to go to Atlanta where there's 3 hours of TSA to get back here. I'm not looking forward to that. But nonetheless, yeah, I like the Patriots.
It sounds like Fred, more intelligent than I, by the way.
It also sounds like you don't want them to win.
I don't care. But I just want it to be interesting, you know? I just want something interesting to happen outside of a Super Bowl. Because when I first moved here, the Jets upset them, and then the Ravens came so close to beating them at home. I just want a game, hearts in your throat at the end. You know what I'm saying? I don't want some systematic domination or some game that, you know, they kind of figure things out and they're running and the Patriots can just run the ball all over the place. And I want to see Kansas City be high flying. And then, you know, you obviously trust Brady in those situations. But to be honest with you, I don't care. I spent 8 years in Atlanta, so I'd like to see friends there. I don't particularly care who wins the Super Bowl or who wins this game. Do you guys always care? If there's a Chicago team in a championship, do you always like have a rooting interest?
Yeah, yes. We're Bears fans.
Well, yeah,
and we like to travel on the company dime as much as anything.
Boston's seen too many titles if you don't care who wins the AFC championship game.
Well, like the guy calls me from work and he's like, we're looking at hotels. What do you think of, you live there, what do you think about staying by the airport? So no, traveling on the company dime sucks. They've treated us like trash. But hopefully that gets all worked out. But no, I'm not from here. So my allegiances lie elsewhere. But it helps the bottom line when they win.
I don't care!
Fred Toucher, Toucher and Rich. Thank you, Fred.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Okay, that was... The hotel situation has all worked itself out.
Yeah.
I was joshing around
with that. Of course, of course. But
everyone is very able here and does a great job.
So the thing ends and it's over with and everyone, you know, it sounds like you probably hung up or like, all right, that was fun, you know.
I hung up and I was like, these guys suck.
Right, right.
But I was like, I mean, big deal.
Yeah, and then you said you started getting texts from friends of yours who live in Chicago who were saying, dude, they're talking.
I had my friend Dave text me, and he was like, that was really funny because these guys are total pieces of garbage.
And they don't know how to handle this.
Yeah, and they don't know, like, right.
All right, so now I want to hear this. So this is them afterwards. They just started talking about you.
All right, should I play the one we didn't play?
Yeah, I want to hear the one you didn't play. Because the first one, they were just like,
They were winding up.
They rated their guests. They said Fred was awful.
They were like, getting started.
Oh, the big thing was, I bet he doesn't talk that way on his regular show.
And yeah, like, hey, right, you know, yeah. Imagine that. Well, imagine being that wacky.
And by the way, I kind of liked Fred Toucher. I disagree with your assessment. Because I think that just like Will Perdue with his tone about the Bulls, imagine that tone, right? And that's his dry personality or whatever in Boston. Indifference to the Patriots in an AFC title game. Brady's been there 13 years in his career. That's kind of telling about where that city is.
And here's something that I don't know what it sounds like to the guy who's on the tri-state when he's listening to that, because we're at the Cubs convention. The signal is sent back to the shop and that's disseminated. So there's a little bit of lag time between there's a little bit of gap. And I don't know, because you'd like the guests to start answering your question shortly after you ask it. And there was so much dead time, I couldn't tell if he didn't want to be on with us or if that's just his shtick or what.
Yeah, it's shtick. I like to take a long time to answer questions. What do you want me to do? Rapid fire answers, stupid?
You're like Belichick on the conference call with the media.
Yeah.
You're trying to sit there and make him squirm.
No, I talk like I talk in real life, you two phony bastards. Hey, yeah. So, what do you think? Gronkowski's going to retire? I'll tell you what. Gronkowski's going to retire. I don't know. I hope not. The guy is a Hall of Famer. I think he's the best tight end of all time. Oh, boy. I can't wait. But listen, if he is going to retire, I want to enjoy him and really take it in.
What kind of news is going on at the Cubs convention in January?
Yeah, right.
What you got going on? You getting any newsmakers in there?
Yeah, spring training starts in like a month. Yeah, let's get out to the Cubs convention.
Yeah, I'd have to hear the over-the-air product.
Yeah, and have to hear his show and all that. Yeah,
I don't want to so much where I'm going to go read, you know, listen to the podcast when I get home. I'm fine.
I wouldn't think.
Oh, okay, good. You're fine. What the hell are you talking about? What the hell are you talking about? You guys are such patronizing pricks that you don't understand someone that, what do you want me to do? Dance around, you idiots, all day? Talk like I'm on amphetamines? I've been on the air for 20 years. I talk in my stupid regular voice. It's called being conversational. You know, it's kind of a good idea. Like, they don't teach you to throw up on the mic every time that you're on.
Hey, Boston. Kiss my ass.
Yeah,
twice.
But you're right. You hate Boston so much. All of a sudden, Bob Fesco from Kansas City. Like, what a phony.
Fesco's been getting in fights with our listeners, by the
way. Good. I'm sure. I'm glad that's how he's spending his time.
There's our listeners are calling in and lying about where they're from. Like, you say they're from Kansas City, and as soon as they get on, he finds out that they're Patriots fans, he's hanging up on them.
Oh, boy.
Because God forbid something might be interesting, and there might be some conflict. That's good. You just hang up on them. That you could have a nice little conflict. You could have a nice little bit for you that, God forbid, someone enjoys.
Oh, this is great. So somebody sent me a direct message this dude sent to Bob Fesco. He said, why would you go on the air with Toucher and Rich? And he answers back, who are they? And the guy goes, LOL, I'll play. They're Boston sports radio hosts. And the guy answered, probably should have invited us on their show instead of calling the studio in the middle of our show while we're on remote. Poor planning on their part caused Boston the opportunity to hear us. Well, if you didn't know who we are, you sure know a hell about why we tried to get you on the show when we call.
We should have booked him in advance. Oh, God, Fesco.
That you would, but just imagine being in that position, though. Indifference to the Bears advancing to the Super Bowl. Shep, if I ever get so jaded covering a Chicago sports team on the cusp of a championship, punch me in the face.
Like, okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
No problem.
All right.
I'd like to be the first in line, sir.
If I ever take it for granted that my hometown Bears, my Bears, or if I ever get that jaded, you cover the team, stupid. Take a step back, fanboy.
There's going to be hell to pay for the Boston Patriots coming in here from old.
Yeah, and then you have this idiot. I hate Boston. Yeah, you really hate Boston. I'm sure it's conversation around the dinner table every night. And like, if you're listening to him, like, wow, this guy's great. He hates Boston.
The chowderheads are melting down, and they're wondering why, you know, oh, we're not going to another Super Bowl.
Wait, what are you talking about? Chowderheads. Jesus.
Up in old England.
Oh, that's not even an insult. If I ever get so jaded and screw those mountains.
Pompous mountains.
Right.
In Maine.
Everyone that writes and covers any kind of team or talks, they should be just ecstatic at all points. Jesus. This team, 4 out of 5 last Super Bowls. What do you want me to wet my pants that they made the Super Bowl?
See, have we that's entertaining radio.
For chowder bet yet?
I don't think we have. Like, if you were able to do that, we'd have something.
I don't know. Yeah, seriously. If I can't appreciate the Bears playing for their 13th NFC championship 2 decades from now or whatever the heck it ends up being, like, yeah, kick me in the nuts and just call it a career.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just call it a career. maybe I can get back to my tail between my legs and get on 670 AM. maybe I could work my way over to that AM dial. I'm sure you guys are rolling in it. No wonder they have an old-ass guy and some 12-year-old on the show. I'm sure the budget for that is real big. Just kick me in the balls. That sounds like something you want to happen.
Kind of like being asked to put a ball gag on if a team loses.
I was just going
to
say they should look up Felger. Get some tips.
There's some throw me in the briar patch element to that.
Yeah.
You know what? If they lose, then you can put a ball gag on me, put me in the corner, and treat me like I'm a bad dog.
All of a sudden, Gammons is at the front door.
Make me eat dog food and call me Sam.
Make me worship your feet.
Now all of a sudden, DA's show back.
If I ever get that jaded,
talking Chiefs because that's what we do.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a radio show. Stupid.
Beat
it's
one not, subject senseless for hours upon hours at a time.
It's real entertaining. You can just sit
should we
there
just and give away some prize for people that can like call in with great Boston accents?
Oh, you just came up with that on the fly. Congratulations. next step, cold fusion.
Tom Brady and his band of merry D-bags.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, big D-bags. It's douchebag. You can say it. How the heck is he that jaded? I mean, Lord have mercy. He doesn't care. No. No.
Can you introduce the next Eagles song coming up?
And by the way, it's funny, too. Like, I don't know. The TSA lines are long. Maybe if they get back together, then, you know, I'm giving them some crap. Jesus. Stupid, no humorless pricks.
Mike, can you do me a favor? At the beginning of that interview, Fred mentions the Bon Jovi thing with Belichick. I want to hear how long the pause is in between Fred answering the question and them completely not even regarding what he just said.
Like, weird.
Like, they're not listening. They have a list of questions. And then they were going to do, like, a Boston movies quiz with you?
Yeah, at the end he said, like, I was going to do a Boston movies quiz, but I don't think he want to talk about New York movies. Oh, well, I mean, what, did you take mushrooms before the interview? Boston movie quiz? Ugh. Go rot on
up
your
in
AM
old
dial.
England.
Doing 5 minutes about my stupid appearance. All right. Very well. Rich, we have the stack. What will we discuss?
Oh, we have your favorite guy did a skit with Cooper Manning. That's right.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield and Cooper Manning are the
ooh,
next.
Yeah.
Laurel and Hardy.
Yes. Hey. All right. We'll hear about that. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what have we not gotten to today?
You want
to
hear two DJs from Chicago not how to handle your Bon Jovi reference while doing an interview on their show?
Yeah. Now, I understand this isn't hilarious, but please, put yourself in my shoes.
Boston, Fred Toucher from the Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We got it right.
Joins us. Yeah, something tells me, Fred, that no one in Boston cares that he's not the greatest quote, right?
Well, no, there's two things that get him going. One is talking about punters, and second is a little music by Bon Jovi. If you talk about Bon Jovi, he immediately lights up. So that is a way to the man's heart.
All right, well, if we ever get him, Mac, that's the way we'll start
Bon
him out.
Bon Jovi's the way. You know, my partner and I differ, Fred, on the way the Patriots are handling this thing.
Well, okay, all right. So he's just like, yeah, yeah, all right. So
I'm like,
offense.
Bon Jovi, and I wait. And I'm like, so, you know,
veering from sports. Yeah. Does not compute.
I'm like, so I go, like, Bon Jovi, yeah, you know, he likes Bon Jovi.
You see, maybe we could riff a little bit.
Yeah, like, you know. Oh, does he? Like, well, how do you know? Oh, well, no, no, no.
That would be great if we just went, how do you know? That was his answer.
I almost said, like, dude, is this, what are you guys doing? All right, go ahead.
Well, this is going to be a wild ride as far as Vegas is concerned, because yesterday, right after the Patriots won, Vegas had the Rams listed as a one-point favorite. That has now changed, and the line has moved to a point and a half for New England being favored. So you had a 2.5-point swing in just a matter of several hours. The over-under on the game, 58.5. Patriots by 1.5. I guess that seems about right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the Chiefs, and Troy Brown agrees, I think the Chiefs were the best team of the remaining ones that were left, and the Patriots just beat them. I think that the Rams are fallible. Jared Goff is not Patrick Mahomes.
Goff no. is the part that scares me, but I don't think Kansas City's better because Kansas City's defense is so bad.
Yeah, New Orleans, in my mind, would have been the better matchup, to be honest
yes.
with you. But even against New Orleans, I would have picked the Patriots to win.
But we always think, okay, they have Sue and Darnold, and, you know, Darnold's the best defensive player in football, and that they're going to get pressure up the middle, and you know they won't.
Yeah.
They'll game plan against that.
I mean, we were sold a bill of goods on Kansas City's nose tackle, right? Well, great run stuffer, can push the pocket, nothing.
It took them a half to figure out what to do.
Yeah, nothing.
To figure out what personnel to put in
there. And all of that pushing the pocket nonsense didn't work. They had one quarterback hit. Brady went back to pass 46 times. They had one quarterback hit, and was that the phantom hit on the face mask? Was that the one hit?
That
might have been the one hit.
Well, he didn't hit him, so I guess there's nobody.
I mean, no, he touched his shoulder pad. He kind of grazed the face mask. Maybe that was the one hit that got on him.
Grazing the face mask is a big leap to take.
Well, the helmet moved, whatever the case. Wasn't a good call. It wasn't a good call.
You don't say.
No, it wasn't a good call.
And by the way, another reason that the Kansas City fans might not have been as devastated as you would think they would be, maybe it's because they realized with Patrick Mahomes, they're going to be probably in the Super Bowl a decent amount over the next however long his career is going to be there. That dude was awesome. And in his first year, his confidence not shaken in any of the games after basically being confused for the entire first half. That second half to just come right out there and drive him down the field was impressive.
Did you see the number? He'll have the same staff.
Yeah, well, it depends now, because did you see the number they're floating around for the contract extension he's going
to
sign?
I'm just about to get to that story. Yeah. As a matter of fact, according to sources, he is up for a contract extension after next season.
Right.
And right now, the talk is that he could land the NFL's first $200 million contract.
Now, the question is, how much of that's going to be guaranteed? Because that'll dictate what he has around him.
Who's the leader in the clubhouse right now?
Is it an Aaron Rodgers? Didn't Rodgers get the big one?
But what did he get guaranteed? Did he get 100 guaranteed?
Oh, no.
Was it 100? Oh, he's got 90? Okay. Well, then, yeah. I mean, then he'll...
Rodgers is the key.
Then Mahomes
will
get 100.
He'll smash that. Oh, no.
Cousins got a ton, too, but I guarantee...
Cousins got 84, I think, all guaranteed.
If Rodgers got 90, Mahomes is going to get 100. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
No, and then, I mean, when all these quarterbacks come up, if they're any good,
They're going to keep outdoing each other.
Well, another guy that's going to get a huge extension.
Sammy D is going to get $4 million.
Well, don't laugh.
You know who's going to get a huge extension? I guarantee you this. Maybe even more than the $100 million guaranteed that Mahomes might get. That's your man Baker Mayfield. So Baker Mayfield and Cooper Manning somehow teamed up in order to do a cool skit. Would you like to hear a little cooking skit they did, Fred?
Yeah, they're both failures. Go ahead.
All right, here we go.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the season finale of the Manning Hour. Today's guest is one of the biggest stars in the NFL. Biggest? Baker Mayfield. And he's right where every star wants to be during championship weekend. Not playing, but on my show.
Thanks, Coop.
At least I'm letting you debut your new show, Baking with Baker, in the spotlight. Gotta feel good.
This was your idea. Hold this egg.
Remember, everything the Manning brothers touch turns to gold.
Maybe the other brothers.
Look, if you're not a fan of kitchens, it's okay.
No, I love kitchens.
Yeah, kitchens are great. They're better than Jackson's.
Anything's better than you. Oh, you.
Oh, smell that. What's it smell like?
Fake vanilla.
Smells like 7 and 8 and 1 to me.
Why does this exist?
Was it supposed to be funny? Was it for a product?
I don't know. What
was it on the pregame?
Fox did it? Like, before the game? Like, why Cooper Manning?
Because it was in New Orleans. That's seriously why.
They said, we want a Manning. They couldn't even get Archie.
No, Archie was running around there.
And they couldn't even get it. Well, I mean, tough to wrangle.
They had Archie in the coop.
You know, when Archie's loose.
Oh, you know.
Tough to pin down. It's like chasing like a chicken.
You know who killed the anthem? It's a man by the name of Jimmy Buffett.
Killed it?
Oh, yeah, baby.
It's the worst. And my wife is such a big Buffett fan, too.
His voice
and she's
is
like,
just
you
awful.
Missed it. She's like, you missed it. You missed the anthem with Buffett. I'm like, really? Darn. That's awful.
For the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Like, God bless the man. For being a great business guy and making people in Cincinnati think that they're in, like, St. Bart's.
Yeah.
But not much of a singer, not much of a musician.
That was more phoned in than your radio interview the other day on Chicago radio.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I should have been much more upbeat.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.